Today we are in week number two of Advent, or our season of Advent. As a reminder, the word Advent means arrival or appearing, and Advent itself is a time for us to prepare ourselves in remembrance and in anticipation. It was first, there's two parts of it. First, it is remembering, or for those before Christ, it was in anticipation of the incarnation of Jesus when he came from heaven and put on human flesh, was born as a man so that he could go to the cross, so that he could die for our sins. So that's the first part. The second part is now our anticipation as we look forward to the promised return of Christ when he comes to rescue us out of this age. And in both times of his arrival, Jesus brings with him some distinct markers. He's going to bring hope and peace and joy and love. And so today we're going to look at the second element of Advent, the element or the theme of peace. So go ahead and take your Bibles. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, it's probably the most familiar Christmas time passage. But I want to look at, really focus in on a particular verse today. It's going to help us see this. If you've ever been friends with a Jewish or Hebrew person or visited that part of the world, or you will notice that they don't say hello and goodbye to each other. They greet each other with shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word, and it's, I'm not really doing a very good pronunciation of it, but shalom means peace in Hebrew. Instead of just saying hello or goodbye, what they're doing is they're offering each other a wish for what they hope that each other have in their lives. I wish you peace. I did a little research to kind of see when did this originate. Everybody believes that it probably originated in the Old Testament era, that it kind of from the very beginning of the development of the Hebrew language, they chose for this word of peace to be how they would greet each other. However, when we think of just saying, hey, peace, brother, peace, you know, we might say peace out or something like that. But when they say shalom, it has a much broader meaning than when we would typically think of the English word peace. In our world, peace means the absence of conflict. But in the Hebrew culture, the idea of peace is more than just a truce. Shalom carries with it the meaning of well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness. If you really dig into it, it has more to do with character than it does to do with circumstances. In other words, what they're saying to each other when they would greet each other, hello or goodbye, is, hey, no matter what it is that you're going to face today, or no matter what you've gone through today, may you have the character strength to be at peace. As kind as those words appear, most people do not have the strength of character to be at peace. Peace is elusive for nearly everyone because peace is impossible without God in your life. I want you to step back in time. It's right before Jesus is born. I want you to think about if you were in that day and time and you get a greeting of shalom, how's that going to land with you? Peace, peace. You're like, wait a minute, this is like this era of time where they had the highest taxes known to man. Unemployment through the roof. Living under the control of a military state. If you were a Jew, there's really not much about life that is peaceful to you. But yet, what you hear all day long is people saying, peace, peace. Peace is not what they're experiencing. And everybody is trying to figure it out. The Romans think, well, maybe we could legislate peace. The Greeks are like, no, the key to peace is philosophy. The Jews said, no, we can get to peace through religion. Everybody's trying to figure out what can we do to provide the necessary instruments to bring peace to someone's soul. Well, there's only one person that has a solution to that. And at the right time, God sent his son to offer everyone that would receive him as Savior the gift of peace. Let's stand as we read together Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse number 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." Thanks, you can be seated. Normally, when a government announces war, they send the army. When they announce peace, they send a politician. They do this strategically because the pen is less threatening than the sword. What's interesting here is that when God decides to announce that his peace has come to earth, he sends the army. They show up, this host, which means an innumerable amount of beings, these angelic hosts from heaven, they show up, and the shepherds are filled with fear. Because that's what happens when the army shows up. It's a fearful thing. But the angel of the Lord tells him this. He begins with these words, "Do not be afraid. I have good news for you." The good news that he had was the gospel, that God had sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And the elation of this announcement caused the host of heaven not only to appear, but to begin to call out with loud cries a call to worship. Shouts of praise, praising God and ascribing to God glory, who is above all things and greater than anyone else, who alone is able to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. I want you to look again at what the angel told the shepherds in verse 14. He said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." First thing I want you to notice today is that peace begins by giving glory to God. Peace begins by giving glory to God. Before you can experience peace, you have to get things in the right order. Like the angels, when you admit that glory belongs to God, at the same time what you're confessing is that glory doesn't belong to you. It's a confession that God is higher and greater than you, and he has something that you do not. We can't experience real peace in our life until we allow Jesus to rule and reign over every part of it. Let me ask you this question. What do you do when peace eludes you? I thought about what kind of some of the common responses are. Some will turn to a bottle so that they can forget what it is that's bothering them. Some are going to bury themselves at work, so at least, man, there's this one thing that I can control. Some are going to lash out as others, projecting their issues onto them. Some withdraw, wallow in self-pity. Maybe this is just a great excuse to spoil yourself a little bit. You go shopping. I'm not just talking to the ladies. All those things, listen, can dull the pain of not having peace in your life temporarily. But none of them can heal that pain eternally. Conflict will remain until Jesus reigns over every aspect of your life. Conflict will remain until Jesus reigns over every aspect of your life. As long as you and I have this attitude of, I can do this. I can fix this. I just need to do more. I just need to do better. As long as I'm pursuing peace with my efforts, I will not know peace. Peace can only come through Jesus Christ, and peace will only last with Jesus Christ. When you're trying to make peace happen, it's exhausting. And Jesus knew that, and this is what he says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest for your souls. Listen, no matter what comes at you, every battle, every war is won in him. Run to Jesus and find the peace that you long for. When the Bible speaks about peace, it offers more than just an agreement to put an end to the conflict that you're experiencing. Peace in the Bible refers to the fullness of blessings from God. The fullness of blessings which the Savior brings. Essentially, when he's talking about peace has come to earth, what he's saying is salvation is here. In the declaration that the angels made to the shepherds, they explained how peace from God works. Peace comes down from heaven, it enters into man, and then it goes out to the world. I want us to look again at what it says in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. The first thing that we see is that peace comes down. Peace comes down. You and I, on our own, do not have what it takes to create lasting peace. Even when we're trying to keep it together, we end up fighting with our spouse, we end up arguing with our kids, we end up being at odds with a coworker, or getting upset with the company that we do business with. For peace to be possible, God must extend his mercy and his grace down to us. Peace has to start between you and God before it can be accomplished between you and another person. And peace with God is only possible because he offers us mercy, which is the forgiveness that we haven't earned, and grace, which is his decision not to enforce his just penalty that we have earned. Herein lies the conflict. Conflict not for us, but for God. God is just, and his holiness demands that sin is punished. So in order to remain just and to defend his holiness, he creates a solution that we need. He creates it through a substitute sacrifice that's going to receive our punishment for us. And the angels say that God is on high. That means he's elevated above all things. And that peace is given to everyone with whom he's pleased. Essentially, he's sending peace down to us. John chapter 1 says it this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. The glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came down to us from heaven to make peace by offering reconciliation between God and mankind through his atoning death. In Genesis chapter 22, God gave us a picture of how this is going to work. Remember, he had told Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I promise to give you this kid." When he's 100 years old, he finally becomes a dad. Now it's about 20 years later. He's got a son who's almost at Marian age. He's about to see the fruition of God's promise. God says, "I want you to take your son Isaac, your only son, the son that you love. I want you to take him to the mountain I'll show you, Mount Moriah. And there I want you to sacrifice him to the Lord." The Bible tells us that Abraham, believing that God could resurrect him from the dead, obeyed. They got up next morning, gathered up all their stuff, and they head out. They get to Mount Moriah. He and Isaac go up on the mountain. They build an altar. Isaac's like, "Dad, I think we forgot something. Where's the sacrifice?" He said, "Well, today it's you." Now, here's what's really crazy is that Isaac is willing to go through with this. Faith upon faith upon faith. They bind him up. They lay him on the altar. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I imagine there were some words, maybe some tears between the father and the son. But Abraham was willing to go through with it. He grabs his knife from his sheath. He picks his knife up. He's about to plunge it through the heart of his child when the Lord calls out to him and says, "Stop, stop. I know now that you would withhold nothing, not even your only son from me." He says, "I want you to lift your eyes and see in the bush there's a ram caught. That ram is there for Isaac. It's his replacement. It's the substitute. Take that and let that be your sacrifice to me." Just as the ram was the sacrifice, the substitute for Isaac, so Jesus becomes the substitute for each of us. So peace came down for us. Next, peace enters in. There's a little bit of confusion here in the way that most of us grew up hearing this. It's the way the King James translates it this way. "And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Some have read this and said, "Well, I think it looks like God's promising universal peace on earth," and that creates a problem for us because we know that isn't true. Or they say, "Well, peace exists. If peace existed, then people would offer goodwill to each other." Goodwill is an old word that we would say today means favor or grace. Who does favor belong to? Who does grace come from? It comes from God, not first from us. It doesn't originate in me or you. Favor is God's to bestow. The goodwill referred to in this verse doesn't belong to men, but it belongs to God. God's peace is not given to those that have goodwill, but it's given to those that are recipients of God's goodwill or God's favor or have received God's grace. This is what Paul said in Romans 5. He says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God's grace, listen to me, is like a Christmas gift that's offered to every single person. Underneath God's tree, there are billions of gifts. Every one of them unique and has a name tag on it. You have a gift with your name there too. Every person that's ever lived has a gift there. But just like the presents that you'll see under your tree this year at Christmas that has your name on it, those presents only become useful to you once you open them up and receive them. As long as you leave it there, it's there, it's for you, but it's not doing you any good. You got to take it. You got to open it up. You got to receive it. When you accept by faith the gift of salvation, God's grace is applied to you. You get what you didn't deserve. Praise God. You become a recipient of his favor, and in salvation, God puts his Spirit in you. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the thing now that lets us have peace experientially. It means that we can feel the peace of God in our life. Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and he would reveal to them the truth. And listen, there's a lot tied up in that. But as it relates to peace, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks the truth of who you are in Christ when Satan lies about your identity, when he tries to remind you of your past, or he points out your mistakes, or he's claiming that you're not worthy to be a child of God. It's the presence of God that is in you that reassures you you're not alone, you're not forgotten, you're not abandoned. It's the presence of God in you that convicts you of sin and points you to righteousness so that you can feel at peace with God. It's the presence of God in you that creates a new desire for you to do God's will. Specifically, it's the presence of God in you that's going to cause you to seek peace with others and is going to prompt you to speak about the peace that God offers to the world. Ephesians 2 says it this way, "For he," Jesus Christ, "himself is our peace, who has made us one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing walls of hostility." Peace comes down. Peace enters in so that peace can go out. Goodwill received from God should produce goodwill to others. The gospel changes us. The gospel applied creates the character of Jesus in our life. And like Jesus, we'll seek to be at peace with others. Jesus told us this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Let me put it to you like this. If Jesus came down from heaven and he entered into you to create peace for you with God, don't you think it makes sense that he would also want you to step into the lives of others and offer them peace? Here's what that means. Some of us need to stop looking so hard for a fight. We're supposed to be peacemakers, offering the peace of God that people don't know it. But sometimes we're busy making a fight. Some of us need to learn the spiritual discipline of holding our tongues. Man, this is timely. We're about to be around our family we haven't seen in a while. Everybody's got that one person. You're laughing because you already know who it is. If you're not laughing, maybe you. We need to learn the spiritual discipline of holding our tongue. Maybe some of us need to learn the spiritual discipline of keeping our fingers off the keyboard when we see something online that sets us off. We need to stop looking for a fight. We're the ambassadors of God's peace. What are we doing? The angel said, "Peace among those with whom he's pleased." This has got to beg a question for us. With whom is God pleased? Is it not all of those that have received his Son as their Savior? And if that's true, how does God plan for them to receive the peace that he offers? Is it not by us sharing the gospel with them? Peace goes out from us to others, not just in us trying to live peacefully with others, while that is a huge component of it, but it's by us telling people about the peace that God wants to offer them in salvation. Listen to me. It's confusing to the lost when we claim to have peace, but we're hostile toward them. It's confusing to the lost when we claim to have peace, but we don't tell them how they could have peace. Here's a lesson to us from the shepherds. And let me say this. Before the angels came to the shepherds, they had done nothing to qualify themselves as God's messengers. They had no theological training. In fact, they were the men who'd been kicked out of God's academy at the temple. Some of them probably had the unique job of raising up the lambs for the slaughter, but these are shepherds. Some of them didn't have the greatest reputation. Some of them had a shady, shady past. But God shows up and he changes them in an instant. The angels tell them, hey, this is the news. We sent a son. This is how you're going to know the Savior of the world is here. But then they just disappear back into heaven. These guys, they go and they find baby Jesus just like the angel said. And in Luke 2:17, it says this, and when they saw it, when they saw the child in the manger described exactly like the angel said, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, that God's peace had come to earth. They told everyone where they could find the peace that God was offering. The Word of God promises us that in this life we will have trouble. There's going to be seasons of turmoil and strife. We'll experience conflict. But if we accept Christ, we can be assured that any conflict that we experience is only temporary. If we put our faith in Jesus, we can experience peace with God. And peace with God supersedes all of the other conflict in our life. And one day, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will return to rescue us out of this world, and he's going to make everything right. His justice will prevail, and we will know peace in every aspect of life. Until that day, we remain in a broken world. And we're likely always going to have some element of conflict in our life, but it's in the midst of turmoil that you can have this settled disposition of peace if you're at peace with God. And not only that, but you can endure knowing that the Prince of Peace will bring everything under his judgment. He's going to make all things right. Conflict and strife and pain and disunity and fighting, it will cease forevermore. Listen, the peace of God has come down to us in Jesus Christ. If you've received him by faith, it means that the peace of God has entered into you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once you've received the peace that God sent down for you, you need to send it out to others. Let us be the ambassadors of God's peace.